Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, April 14th, 2024. Pastor Paul Talberg. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make Him known to others so they too might share in the joy Jesus won for them. Here's Pastor.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God's word for meditation is taken from one of the letters at the back of your Bible. It goes 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, Revelation. It's a very short book, 1st John, chapter 1. And children, as I read this, I want you to listen because the children's devotion up here is based on some crayons I'm going to be using. And I need to share with you this part of God's word. You'll be able to explain this to anybody if you listen carefully to this word and then pay attention to what's going on there. Okay? Here it comes. Here is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you. God is light. There is no darkness in Him at all. Suppose we say that we share life with God, but we still walk in the darkness, then we are lying. We're not living out the truth. But suppose we walk in the light, just as He is in the light. Then we share life with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, makes us pure from all sin. Suppose we claim we are without sin. Then we are fooling ourselves. The truth is not in us. But God is faithful and fair. If we confess our sins, He will forgive our sins. He will forgive every wrong thing we have done. He will make us pure. If we claim we have not sinned, we're calling God a liar. His word is not in us. My dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. But suppose someone does sin. Then we have a friend who speaks to the Father for us. He is Jesus Christ, the blameless one. He gave His life to pay for our sins. But He not only paid for our sins, He also paid for the sins of the whole world. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in Your sight, O Lord, our rock and our defender. Amen. I now invite the children to come up here for a brief children's devotion dealing with crayons and that part of God's word you just heard. I should have something to draw on, I'm thinking. I'm going to ask you for help later to take this back for them. Thank you. Good morning. Good morning. How are you doing this morning? Good morning. I have here some crayons, okay? Now, I want to... Oh, here comes some more. There comes some more. There comes some more. Yeah, you want to sit down? Maybe not. Maybe not. I have here some crayons. Now, someone gave me these crayons, okay? And they're nice new crayons I got, nice new box, okay? And as I'm playing with them and I'm drawing things on it, what happens? Well, it kind of wears down. Kind of wears down, okay? So let's say my wife is a teacher here. So let's say I ask Mrs. T, who's the principal of the school. She gave me these crayons and they're brand new. And she says, children, and I'm in her class. She says, children, I want you to look at your crayons, take out your crayons, and turn in your crayons. And I'm looking at, well, this is kind of, that's not so good. And then I open up my crayon box, and I see, oh, someone's broken. I don't even have them all. Oh, no. She's going to yell at me. I broke the crayons. And let's say that I do this, and I just put it back in there, and I say, well, you know, what crayons? And I pretend like there's no crayons. No crayons. And then as I'm watching the teacher, and all the children bring their crayons, and they're all broken, and they give it to her, and I'm thinking, oh, they're going to get yelled at. and I'm getting scared for them. All of a sudden, the teacher does something amazing. The teacher does this, opens up and takes out and gives a new box of crayons to all the children who turned in their old cruddy boxes. This is only a few boxes, and look how many are in here, and they're all brand new. Don't you love brand new stuff? Oh, I love that. That is what God does. That's what God does. He says, you know, I want you to talk to me, and I want you to tell me all those things that you did that you're not really, all, you know those times when you disobeyed your mom and your dad, and remember the time when you were lazy? Remember the time when you were naughty? Remember the time when you talked back? Remember the time when you threw a temper tantrum? I remember a time when I slammed the door, and I was so mad at my mom and dad, and I stuck my tongue out at the door. Naughty. Okay? God says, that's a sin, and that sin keeps me out of heaven. It's a broken crayon. So you know what God does? He says, I want you to tell me about that sin. So I did, and I said, God, I'm sorry. You know what God does? This is a cool thing. God says, I forgive you. Jesus died for all my sins, and he gave me a brand new life. Every sin I've ever done is all gone. So every day, he gives me a brand new set of crayons. Every day. I never have to worry about, oh man, am I going to be good enough for God? No, he says, I got you covered. So I asked Amelia, right when she came up here, Amelia is someone I can count on, she pays attention, okay? I asked Amelia afterwards, after church, she's going to be in charge of making sure that you all get your own box. Not one per family, all of you get one box, okay? And that way you can have one, and you know what you can do? You can use that box to maybe draw a picture of, say thank you to Jesus for taking away your sins. Okay, so let's first of all fold our hands, and we'll just say thank you to Jesus, okay? Thank you, Jesus, for taking away my sins. Amen. And now you may go back to your seats, and would it be helpful to take it now, or do you want to take it later? Okay, all right. I hope you have on your history hats, because today we're going to have a little bit of history. Not a whole bunch of history, but the Apostle John wrote this letter. He was an old guy by now. I'm starting to get to that age where I can kind of relate to the Apostle John. Not quite. We think that when he wrote this letter, he was in his 80s. I'm not quite there yet. So maybe early 80s, mid-80s. And he's writing this letter. The Apostle John was the only one that we know of that died a natural death, we think. We don't know for sure. But John was living in a place, and as he's living and serving his congregation, by the way, they called him the old man. Not to make fun of him. Not like, oh, you old man. Because that was their pet name for him. Like you have a pet name for some people? That was his pet name. Your pet name for me might be Pastor T. Well, his name was, oh, the old man. And so he called them my children. And it was a wonderful thing that happened between them as a pastor in the congregation, as an apostle and a people. So here he is, the old man, and they all gather together because they want to hear what the old man has to say. And the old man writes these words. He said, here's the message we've heard from him. Announced to you, God is light. There's no darkness in him at all. Suppose we say we share life with God, but we still walk in the darkness, then we are lying. We're not living out the truth. Suppose we walk in the light, as he is in the light. Then we share life with one another, and the blood of Jesus, the Son, makes us pure. If we claim to be without sin, then we are fooling ourselves. The truth is not in us, but God is faithful and fair. And then these words, my dear children. He is writing to them, knowing that they're going to understand where he's coming from. That was kind of important for him because he had heard that there was a terrible, disgusting, absolutely hair-raising, false teaching that was going on. In Ephesus, there was a thing, the false teaching was so weird. It was weird. I don't have crayons. So if you have crayons, that means the crayons are sinful. I have to stay away from the crayons because they'll make me sinful. What? I'm wearing white. Are you wearing white? If you're wearing white, then you're holy. Or nowadays, I have a tie on when I go to church. I hope you have a tie on because that way you're holy. Well, it doesn't have anything to do with that. But people were following that. The guy's name was Cerinthus, and he was saying that Jesus was not really who he said he was. He was not really God and man in the same person. He was just man, a good guy, a smart guy, a wise person, but, you know, not really God. And so eventually a spirit called Christ comes in, takes over his body, does all these miracles. But then it comes time to suffering and dying on a cross. Cerinthus was teaching people, God can't suffer. God can't die. So therefore, it can't be God. So the spirit of Christ left. The man suffered and died, and that's the end of the story. When people believe that, if they believe that, they're not going to make it to heaven. So the Apostle John, the Lord said, pick up your pen and write to them. They need to understand what's going on. John was one of the last living witnesses, the link back to Jesus. He had seen Jesus. He had been in the room when Jesus said, hey, peace be with you. He had been there when he walked up to Thomas. He said, Thomas, take your hand, put it in my side. Hand, hey, put it there. Come on, check me out. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bones like you see I have. So what happened is when he was talking, the people understood this guy knew who Jesus was. He had been with him for 3 years. He had seen Jesus rise from the dead. He had had his own doubts. He had his own fears. And yet Jesus had convinced him that he was alive. And that changed John's life. Gave him a joy and a confidence that he had never had before. And he wanted that joy and confidence with more and more people. And so that's what he did. He kept on saying what Jesus did. So now you come to this part. He says, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. Well, how's that going? Yeah, we don't even do that little thing. We know what God's word says. I'm not even going to ask when the last time you read 1 John was, because some of you may not have even known that was a little letter in the back of your Bibles. We are constantly, always sinning. And the first thing that God says is his word is, guess what? I am the holy God. I cannot tolerate sin. So the first thing that happens when Jesus Christ crucified for sin, that reveals sin. It's a terrible thing. God cannot stand it. It has to be paid for. Sin is not allowed into heaven. Sinners are not allowed into his heaven. So what are we going to do? The first thing that happens is God says, you're a sinner. But he doesn't stop there. He says, we believe in Jesus Christ crucified and risen. So yes, that reveals my sin. But it also enlightens me. He crucified and risen. That means that he did what he said he did. He came back to life again. That means that when he said peace, like we heard on Easter morning from Pastor John's lips, when you heard from me on Easter morning, when you heard last week, peace be with you. That means there is no more fighting. You know, we heard now about another war starting. There's always a war going to be happening in the world. There's wars going on in families. There's always sorts of divisions, always, even among friends. The word for peace comes from a word in the Greek that means I put the two things back together so they are whole. It's not just no fighting. It's that there's what it's supposed to be. So Jesus comes down. The first words out of his mouth are, I have put things back to where they're supposed to be between God and you, between God and sinners. Peace, he says. And just like that, like, whoa. That's for me. That changes my whole life. I don't have to go around feeling guilty. I don't have to go around feeling ashamed. My past life is past. Heaven is my home. Guaranteed by the one, John was thinking, guaranteed by the one who's standing in front of me, who's eating a piece of fish and chips with me. Guaranteed by that man, Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead. That just, it can't stay on the inside. It's just got to show. And that's the other part. He says, we have a friend who speaks to the Father for us. He is Jesus Christ, the blameless one. So, he gave his life to pay for our sins. But he not only paid for our sins, he also paid for the sins of the whole world. There's enough crayons in God's box to give everybody a new box of crayons every time they say, oh, I blew it. I broke the crayons. I used them all up. I used it the wrong way. I made graffiti. I did dirty pictures. I did bad words. God says, you're right. You broke the crayons. Come to me in the name of my son, and here's a new box of crayons. What a generous God we have. What a wonderful Savior we have. He's enlightened you to know that. And he's kept you here. You know why? Why has he kept you here? It's a sad world. It's death and dying and people get angry He kept you here because people do not know that good news that you have. That you and I have been given. Jesus Christ crucified and risen means that my sins are gone. And I have a ton of them. And till the day I die, I'll have a ton more. And God says, your sins are gone. Be at peace. And, oh, I might put something else in your path. They don't know that good news like you know it yet. Make sure you tell them, okay? I can't wait for that to happen. In Jesus' name, so let us live this week. Amen.